ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्योत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 15. The Pandavas retire timely. Text 34. Please repeat. Yaya harad bhuvo bharam tam tanum vijahava ajaha kantakam कंटकेनेव द्वयम् चापिषितु समम् ययाहरद् भुवो भारम् ताम् तनुम् विजहावजः कंटकम् कंटकेनेव द्वयं चापिषितु समं ययाहरद् भुवो भारं तां तनुं विजहावज कंटकं कंटकेनेव द्वयं चापिषितु समं ययाहरद् भुवो भारं ताम तनुम विजहावजः कंटकम कंटकेनेव द्वयम् चापिषितु समम्. Mataji sir. Kantakam kantake neva.
Yeah.
Yaya, that by which Aharat took away Bhuvaha of the world, Bhadam, burden, Tam, that, Tanum, body, Vijahau, relinquished, Ajaha, the unborn, Kantakam, thorn, Kantakene, by the thorn, Iva, like that, Dvayam, both, Cha, also, Api, although, Ishitu, controlling, Samam, equal. Translation and purport by Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: the Supreme Unborn, Lord Shri Krishna, caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Shaunak and others who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami at Naimisharanya were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Suta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and His eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu dynasty and serve him in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the soma rasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging in intoxication. Once the sons of Kuber fell in the wrath of Narad for being intoxicated, but afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Shri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto. For the Supreme Lord, both the asuras and the demigods are equal. But the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn which causes pinpricks on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing the Lord. And the other thorn, which takes out the disturbing elements, certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura. And one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas and destroy the asuras whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. ఓం ధ్యానతిభిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యహం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందే అహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవ సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం. శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ పాదాం లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ నమామ విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ దీస్ వర్సెస్ ఇన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం they are very deep in their meaning, and Srila Prabhupada, he is explaining all the details, how Krishna disappears, how is it possible, and also the finer meanings of how Krishna is, though he is the cause of everything, how he has, you know, played out all these intricate, hard to understand things, that how Krishna himself, God himself, he comes to the world and he is, you know, arranging a big battle. Usually God means, we always think that God has to be always on the side of the peace. And how come Krishna first he arranged the battle of Kurukshetra, where 640 million people died? That is the first thing. And later on, where in today's verse we are hearing how he caused the destruction of his own dynasty, that is Yadu dynasty. He is actually the one who relieved the burden of the world. So the reason it is intricate is the usual meaning that people have, the usual idea of God, or anybody who is a godly person, that he has to always tolerate and he has to always give the message of peace. When we see Krishna's all the pastimes, we see that Krishna always wants harmony in the world, because everyone is Krishna's children. Everyone is part and parcel of God, just like the father loves all the children equally, and the father wants peace in the house, right? But suppose one of the children of the father, he becomes a drug addict and he becomes crazy and he starts doing all the nonsense, then the father has anxiety that because of this one person, my other children will also get affected. So in such a case, the loving father has to intervene and he has to punish the child who is not properly following the instructions, not properly following the proper way and lifestyle. So that's how Krishna also decides to punish the demoniac class of men. Krishna always gives them chance after chance after chance to surrender, to give up their false means, to give up their demoniac ways of life, but still, because of too much of engrossed, you know, nature, because they are completely engrossed, being very egoistic, completely filled with greed and lust, they don't want to give up their lust, their desires, their demoniac ideas. They want to be the enjoyers at the cost of suffering of others. So that's why Krishna, who is described as the most beautiful, the sweetest, the most merciful, the most magnanimous, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, he decides to also take weapon in his hand. When he leaves Vrindavan, he becomes Vasudev. He is Vasudev. And he becomes Kshatriya. And he takes charge to relieve the burden of the earth. Because earth is also devotee of Lord Krishna. And she becomes very hurt when all the demonic class of people, they are taking all the resources from the Mother Earth, utilizing her body, you know, her resources for the wrong means. So she becomes very stressed, and Krishna wants to relieve the burden of the earth. Especially in this case, and also in the case of Mahabharata war, Krishna is the decider. Krishna always, you know, he is the cause of all causes. He is the one who decided. He's the one who arranged the battlefield, the battle of Kurukshetra. And on the battlefield, he called all the demoniac class of kings, all the Kshatriyas who were very proud, arrogant, and they wanted to always do all the nasty things, give trouble to others who are weaker. To such people, Krishna called on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In Bhagavatam 9th canto, this is described. Prithivyam savai guru bharam kshapanam kurunam. He called all these demoniac kings. Anta samutha kalina yudhi bhupachamva. He called all those kings who were demoniac. You know, that is, everything happened under his direction. And drushtya vidhuya vijaye jayam udvighosya. Just through his glance, he reduced the duration of life of all the soldiers who were there. So Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes. He is the one doing everything. And later on, after the Mahabharata war, after a few years, now Krishna is thinking. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions in his commentary that Krishna was thinking that now after the Mahabharata war is finished, the world is going towards prosperity under the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthir and the Pandavas. And very soon Kali Yuga is supposed to begin. How Kali Yuga will begin in my presence? If Krishna is there, then there cannot be any ill, or there cannot be any evil, right? So Krishna is thinking how Kali Yuga will start in my presence. Krishna himself is the Dharma personified. All the Pandavas are ruling. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in order for Kali Yuga to start, Krishna has to disappear. So then Krishna contemplated what should be done. So then he also thought, all my family members, all the Yadus, they are very powerful. They have unrestricted opulence and no external force can defeat them. I mean, who can defeat when there is Krishna and Balaram leading the army? Who can defeat? Alone Balaram can kill entire army. So Krishna is thinking that Yadus are so powerful, nobody can destroy them. And if I disappear, leaving my family members like that, they will go, you know, in the agony of separation from me. And because they are so powerful, and in that agony of separation, they will trample this Mother Earth. And then Krishna is thinking, how to avoid this? How to avoid Yadus going, you know, completely wild like a maddened elephant? When the elephant gets maddened, then he may destroy the entire city. So the king has to order the soldiers to kill the elephant right away. Elephant is very strong. So the Yadus, they were very strong. And they were, even though they are Krishna's own family members, they have divine qualities. They were not at all demoniac. They had all the great qualities because they are Krishna's associates. And Rupa Goswami mentions that even within the Yadu dynasty, the ones which are the residents of Dwarka, They are like Nitya Siddha devotees. They are eternal associates of Lord Krishna. And they were not killed in the Prabhas, in the fight. The second category of Yadus, as told by Rupa Goswami, they are the demigods. Because when Krishna appears, Krishna doesn't want to do any free service to anyone. Because the demigods were the ones who appeared to Lord, who came to Lord Vishnu. And Brahma was meditating that we are in trouble, we need your help. And Lord Vishnu sent, transmitted a message. Then he said that soon I will appear, but I want you also to take part in my mission. It's not that we chant, oh Krishna, please save me, and Krishna is going to save. You also have to take charge of your problems. So that is a very important lesson, that Krishna accepted their prayer of all the demigods. At the same time, he said, you also come. You also have to fight with me, shoulder to shoulder. You know, it's not that God is going to do all the work and we are only relaxing. So that is Krishna's way of telling that the Yadus, they are demigod descendants, like Srila Prabhupada is telling. So all the demigods who appeared in mostly Bhoja dynasty or Andhaka dynasty or even Vrishni dynasty, those demigods were the Yadus who also got really powerful. Some of them were puffed up. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that some of the Yadus, they started to think that I am equal to Krishna. He is powerful, I am also powerful. So some Yadus also had that familiarity. Ati parichayat avadnya santata gamanat anadaro bhavati. So some people started to, you know, criticize Krishna or take him for granted. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that familiarity breeds contempt. So Krishna decided that before I go, they have to go. They have to depart from this world before me, so that there is no destruction, there is no craziness. So Krishna, that's why he arranged. And it is Krishna's will. Krishna's will is very strong. When everybody went to Prabhas Kshetra, all the Yadus, they did not just drink wine out of, you know, whimsically or anything. They asked Krishna. They took permission from Krishna. It is also mentioned that Athat Tetad Anugyata. They took permission from Lord Krishna. And then they drank so much of wine, you know, Varuni, and they had intoxication. And then they fought. And that's how, fighting with each other, they left their bodies. So in this context, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also mentions that Krishna gave them a nice death in one sense, that they were completely intoxicated. They didn't know what is happening. And then they were also fighting. Because as a Kshatriya, the best thing you can do is fight. Like as a devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or followers of Prabhupada, the best thing we can do is Harinam, you know. We can chant, dance, and while chanting and dancing, if we leave our body, that can be the best thing. Or if you are doing some service, if you are on the book distribution, you know, Prabhupada will be pleased completely. He is completely happy because I am doing service for Srila Prabhupada. So in such a case, if we leave our body, that is the best thing for us. The same way for the Yadus. For them, the best way to leave their bodies, being Kshatriya, is by fighting. At the time of fighting, if they leave their bodies, they are going to thank Krishna. So Krishna also knew that. And also they were intoxicated. So they, in that way, they fought. And they left their bodies. 546 million Yadus died. Such a big calamity, right? In the Prabhas Kshetra. Now, at such a place where 546 million people have died, at such a place, can there be a tiny little deer wandering? Such a massive destruction has happened. Can there be a tiny deer hopping and jumping around? And can there be any hunter who, you know, who is thinking, oh, today I'm going on a hunting spree? In the middle of such a destruction, 546 million. So that tells us that it is Krishna's plan. So one deer was there, and the hunter Jara was also, you know, he was on his hunting spree, and he thought he saw the deer, but then he shot the arrow, and then it is described that the arrow went and touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And then Krishna disappeared. The next verse, it is directly said that hunter Jara, he offered the obeisances to Lord Krishna. It is not described that the arrow was taken out or anything, because Krishna's body is Sachidananda Vigraha. So nothing can actually pierce Lord Krishna's body. And then actually the hunter is prostrating himself in front of Lord Krishna. And that's how Krishna left. So we also understand from this, it's completely Krishna's desire. And by Krishna's desire, all this episode happened. In this purport, Prabhupada also mentions a beautiful concept. Both the demigods and the demons are under the control of the Lord. You know, the one who is acting like a thorn, which is giving you pain, you know, which is not helpful, that person is like a demoniac thorn. And the other thorn, which is used to take out that thorn, that the one causing pinpricks to Lord's lotus feet, they are called the demigods. So that's why Krishna always takes side of the devatas, because they always surrender to Krishna. They both are same, like two thorns are same, but one thorn is causing pain to the body, and the other one is used to remove the other thorn. So that's how Krishna used Pandavas to take out the burden of the earth, just like all the Kauravas, the Kuru dynasty. And the greatness of all the devotees is when they take Krishna's side. They serve Krishna's desire. Whenever Krishna has a mission, all the devotees who serve the mission of Krishna, they are considered godly. They are devatas. And the one person who doesn't want to serve Krishna, who doesn't want to fulfill Krishna's desire, that person is demoniac. Very simple. Who is a demon and who is a demigod? Very easy categorization. That the one who wants to serve Krishna is godly or like a demigod, and the one who doesn't want to surrender, doesn't want to fulfill Krishna's desire, who wants to only satisfy and fulfill his own desires, he is demoniac. So what do we want to become is up to us. So Krishna leaves that choice with us. And whoever surrenders and whoever makes Krishna's mission as their own, they become very dear to Krishna. They become devotees of Krishna because they are helping Krishna in his mission. Krishna naturally and inspires others to act, you know, and to serve him. Like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna asked Pandavas that, you know, Krishna especially asked Arjuna that, I want you to fight. And Arjuna surrendered and he fought. When Narasimha Dev appeared, you know, it is very beautifully described in Brahmanda Puran. When Narasimha Dev appeared, he killed Hiranyakashipu, he saved his devotee Prahlad, but still he was so angry. And it is described that he was roaring constantly in anger. He wanted to kill all the demoniac people at one shot. He was thinking that, I don't want to keep coming here. I'm going to finish the business in one go. Garjantam garjayantam nija bhuja patalam sphotayantam hatantam rupyantam tapayantam divi bhuvi dityam kshepayantam kshipantam. So when he came, he was constantly roaring. He was so angry. And he was actually causing others to roar also. Like just looking at him, other people who were his devotees, who were his associates, garjantam garjayantam. He was not only roaring, he was causing others to roar. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he was preaching. And he didn't preach alone. He caused others to preach. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he preached and he literally did everything. He is the one preaching. He is the one carrying ahead the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he didn't do it alone. He also made others to do the same. So we have to understand that we have to follow the mood of Srila Prabhupada. We have to follow the mood of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, just like Krishna was served by Pandavas in the way he wanted, the same way we have to serve Srila Prabhupada, we have to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the way, in the manner that he wants. Not the way we want. Not the way that, you know, today I feel like doing this. We have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. I remember one incident as a child. We had decided to go on a family picnic. So we were supposed to catch a train. And, you know, naturally the father is the one who has to carry all the burden, right? All the bags and everything. So I remember my mother came with a big bag with all her saris, all the jewelry and whatever she wanted. I also gave some of my clothes. And my father was thinking, oh my God, such a big burden on me. And he was thinking, who is going to carry? But he was fine. He started to carry all the bag. But somehow I felt a bit embarrassed that he is the one carrying everything. I remember I just, you know, being like very short, I just touched the bag. And, you know, I was trying to help him, but I couldn't because I was just a little child. So I remember seeing him, he was very happy. He was very happy seeing that I am trying. I have intention. I wish to serve him, to at least help him little bit. My tiny bit I was trying to do. And he had a beautiful smile. So, the same way, when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, all the Brajavasis did not decide to have a party. They didn't say that, okay, Krishna, anyways, he's the controller. And he is lifting Govardhan Hill, and look at him, how nicely he is lifting, just in the little finger of the left hand. We can relax. No, all the Brajavasis, they took out their sticks. And they were also supporting the Govardhan Hill, thinking that we want to help Krishna. That is the mood of a devotee. A devotee is the one who wants to always do his best, do his tiny bit to serve, to help the spiritual master, to help Krishna. The same way Srila Prabhupada is actually carrying the mountainous task of, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness. Even today, he is the one who is carrying that Govardhan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We have to assist. We have to do our tiny bit. We have to at least touch and help him carry that mountainous task. So Srila Prabhupada always expects us to first follow his instructions, purify ourselves, then automatically we will get the maturity and we will also understand more and more how we can serve Srila Prabhupada in the best way possible. So that is the way we should all, you know, surrender to Srila Prabhupada, surrender to his instructions in the book, and surrender to Krishna through the Guru Parampara, through the spiritual master, through the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So that is very important for all of us. So that's all I was thinking of saying. If you have any questions, comments, Anand Kirtan Prabhu. Okay, Anand Kirtan Prabhu is asking if Krishna wants all of us to help him in the mission, if he wanted all the warriors to fight in the Kurukshetra battle, then how come we find other examples, just like Srivas Thakur, he said to Lord Chaitanya that if I don't get what I need in my home before I clap three times, then I will drown myself in the Ganges. We also see an example of Avadhuta Brahmana, who said that if the food doesn't fall in my mouth, if it is not Krishna's desire, then I'm not going to do anything. So that is his question, how we see these contradictions, that some devotees have the mood that Krishna is controller, and sometimes it appears that they are not doing their part. So I would say that in terms of Srivas Thakur, what he said is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said one day to Srivas Thakur, Srivas, I always see that you are with me. You are always in my kirtan party. You are always jumping and dancing. You are always with me and doing service to me. I wonder how your household runs, because you don't go to work. So that's how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced the doubt, and he was testing Srivas Thakur and his mood. So Srivas Thakur had such a deep realization in spiritual knowledge that he was constantly serving Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was not actually relaxing, or he was not being lazy. He was completely chanting all the time, and he actually allowed Nityananda Prabhu to stay with him. And him and Nityananda Prabhu, they would also do so much of service. They would go door to door. Haridas Thakur and all these great devotees who appeared, they were active in spiritual terms. They were not active in the material terms. Like materially they were not active, but spiritually they were super active. So that's the difference. So in terms of Krishna's service, we should be much more enthusiastic. We should be constantly trying to, you know, serve the spiritual master in many, many ways. We should always be contemplating, how can I do more? What else can I do? How can I squeeze my time so that I can squeeze in this more extra service? Materially, we may not be much more active, because anyways, all the material empire that you will build will be taken away one day. But whatever we are doing in terms of our spiritual activities, like service in the temple, service to Srila Prabhupada, service to the spiritual master, that's our eternal bank balance that will come with us. So that's why materially, all the great devotees we see, many times they are not very active. Even Tukaram Maharaj, he was householder, he had children. But still he said that if it is Krishna's desire, then I will get what I want for my livelihood, for my maintenance. So some great devotees have this type of deep realizations in the spiritual knowledge, that they completely depend on Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. So to such great devotees who are surrendered, Krishna also reciprocates. But that doesn't mean we should imitate such people. We should try to have balance between material life and spiritual life. It's better not to have material life at all. But still, if you have some responsibilities, we have our material body, we have bodily relationships which come with the body. So, you know, we have to also fulfill those responsibilities. But we should not be, you know, too much attached, too much indulged in the material life. Because all the material life ultimately is going to become a big zero. Ultimately, at the end of life, it's going to be a big fat zero. It's nothing ultimately. But the spiritual, whatever spiritual credits we are going to acquire, they will last with us. And they will be forever. And Krishna will take a note of that. So that's why all the devotees, they are spending all the time in increasing the spiritual credit. So that's why we see such a difference. Sometimes they say that materially, I don't want to be active. But such people are not lazy. Such people are extremely active in terms of spirituality. In the spiritual paradigm, they are very active. Gaurang Prem. The question is that Lord Shri Krishna arranged the battle and he did so many things in his lifespan in order to relieve the burden of the earth. But today we see so many demons, what Krishna is doing for that, right? That answer we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Jagai Madhai attacked Nityananda Prabhu, immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shouted, Chakra, Chakra, right? And Sudarshan came. He was immediately going to chop off their heads. But then Nityananda Prabhu said, you cannot kill in this age because everyone is more or less a demon. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rather preached. He's actually, even today, what Krishna is doing is through great devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And all his disciples, you know, all the grand disciples, through such dedicated souls, Krishna is, even today, he is relieving the burden of the earth by taking away, by killing the demonic tendency instead of killing the demon. Because Krishna, when Krishna kills a demon himself, then the demon gets the salvation, he gets a higher destination. But when the demonic tendency is removed, then it's again a great person. Only Krishna is focusing on removing that tumor. It's like a laser treatment where Krishna wants to only remove the calamity, the whatever the dirt that we have in the heart, instead of killing the person itself. So even today Krishna is doing the act, and devotees like yourself and all the, you know, book distributors who go out, you know, the devotees who go out on Harinam, when they are chanting the holy names, we may think that this is very simple, ordinary activity. We get into a van, we go to a place, we chant for some time, and then we have some prasad, we come back. We may think that it's very small activity, but it's not a small activity. In that one activity, we are actually spreading the name of Krishna. The holy name is active. Holy name of Krishna in the age of Kali is removing the burden of the earth by removing the Kali Kalmasha, the dirt accumulated in the heart. So that way Srila Prabhupada, that way all the devotees, they are removing the burden of the earth even today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.